Jimmy Swaggart, eat your heart out. I'm glad he let me in. So glad he let me in. Well, I prayed outside. Till the angels came, I'm so glad he let me in. And the Bibles tonight, we'll get right down to business. Let me see. I'll look at my watch so you won't have to look at yours. Trust me. Would we go to the Old Testament? The book of Exodus, chapter number 27. And we read together tonight. And thou shalt make an altar of sheddim wood, 5 cubits long, 5 cubits broad, and altar shall be 4 square. The height thereof shall be 3 cubits. And thou shalt make the horns of it upon the 4 corners thereof. His horns shall be of the same. And thou shalt overlay it with brass. Thou shalt make an altar, and the horns of it shall be the same. And thou shalt overlay it with brass. Would you go to the New Testament now, and we'll read a scripture before we come back to the book of Psalms for our text for tonight. Would you turn to the book of the Acts of the Apostles, chapter number 20, and we read together the reading of God's holy word. Verse number 19. Serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God. Oh, that message would be stretched again. And faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit into Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me, save the Holy Ghost witnessing in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear to myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I'm pure from the blood of all men, for I've not shunned to declare unto you all of the counsel of God. Take heed to yourselves, unto yourselves and to all of the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. What a testimony. Would you turn now to the book of the Psalms tonight, and we read our text. It's a beautiful text, nestled in the 118th Psalm. What a beauty it is. Psalms 118, verse number 29. Be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. God is the Lord, which hath showed us the light. bind the sacrifice with cords even under the horns of the altar. Thou art my God, and I will praise thee. Thou art my God, and I will exalt thee. I want to talk to you tonight from these words. Bind the sacrifice with cords even to the horns of the altar. I want to talk about tying the sacrifice to the altar of God. Come, Holy Ghost. Would you stand with me? Just change positions. Lift your hand and let's ask the presence of the King of Glory to walk down these aisles in splendor and beauty tonight. Glory to God and the Lamb. Glory to God and the Lamb. Glory to God and the Lamb. Rambadaria Sharimba Krendo Borivandarabandaradiandai. Glory to God and the Lamb. Glory to the King forever. We ask you and receive that anointing of the Holy Ghost. Would you quicken our mind, our body, our spirit? Let us have revelation and prophetic utterance. Let us speak under the unction of the Holy Ghost of God. Minister to this need tonight, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even to the horns of the altar. Pastor Moses received a revelation on how to build the tabernacle. While he was receiving the revelation, God said, thou shalt make an altar unto God. Everything great that happens begins with an altar. Thou shalt make an altar. There's two altars of the tabernacle, the altar of sacrifice and the altar of incense. The altar of sacrifice is where the burnt offering and the smoke goes up, and the sacrifice was tied on the altar. The altar was four square, and they made horns on all four corners. They overlaid the horns with brass, and when they threw the sacrifice on the altar, they tied it there so it would not fall off or would not be removed. I shouted when I read it. I realized there was a symbol of New Testament religion. Bind the sacrifice with cords even to the horns of the altar. David, when he prayed, said, God is the light. God is the Lord which has showed us the light. And then David said, tie the sacrifice. Bind it with cords, Lord. Tie it even to the horns of the altar. Don't let that dedication ever be shifted or moved, but let it be tied with cords so that it'll be anchored and stay at an altar of dedication, an altar of commitment, an altar of acceptance before God Almighty. It was in this atmosphere that David cried, Lord, we're going to give you our all, but tie it to the altar so it cannot be moved. That's the reason why that we go the second mile. That's what'll hold you when the hour is hard. That's what'll keep you when tears are flowing. There's a cord that ties us to the will of God till we shout, I cannot recant. I will not go back. I'm committed. I'm dedicated. I'm apprehended. I'm not my own. I belong to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. What a day when it gets a hold of your heart to where it's not a picnic, it's not an excursion, it's not a vacation, praise the Lamb. It's a vocation. And we're no longer our own. We can shout and tell the world, it's not I, but Christ liveth in me. Hallelujah. That'll take you further than the contract calls for. That'll make you do things that nobody else can inspire you to do. That'll take you beyond the southwestern degree. That will take you beyond the church payroll. It will take you into a fellowship with God till you belong to Him who is King of kings and Lord of lords. Hallowed be His name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Men that have built churches, men that have done business for God, have found that cord that ties them until they cry, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I'm constrained. I'm held. I'm shut up. I have Him as Lord, and no longer do I tell Him or dictate the terms. I belong to Jesus. Hallelujah. That's what I want to get happy about. My soul sings. There's three kinds of preachers. There are hirelings, there are shepherds, and there are sheep herders. Like the way you're shouting now. I want to visit with the preachers on the outcast of this. A hireling seeth the wolf comes. He's looking for payday and a good parsonage. And how much vacation have you got? Would you shout now? I'm a bit disturbed today when I see a lightness moving into our parsonage. God bring us back to where it's not something we're looking for a setup, or we're looking for a place. We'll build churches. It doesn't matter. Live, die, sink or swim. We're going to do something for the glory of God Almighty. Say amen. Old timers brought this fellowship in. They didn't have a Holiday Inn to sleep in. They didn't stay at Lincoln Plaza. They didn't drive a Cadillac. We were so poor we couldn't pay attention. Say amen. Our old timers built churches. While they fought the wolf away from the door, the stork would fly in the window. They had, amen. Brother, it was a peril. They didn't have electric light bulbs. They pumped up gasoline lanterns. It cost something to get us here to this tabernacle tonight. It cost something for us to be Pentecost tonight. And God forbid that a bunch of pipsqueaks would let it die on their hands. Let's raise up in the name of Jesus and say, God, do it again. Would you say amen? My heart burns. Hirelings run when they see a wolf coming. Amen. Yes, sir. And a sheep herder, he'll do the job if you pay him enough. Say amen. He'll hurt him. But his heart's not in it. He'll work for another one just as good if you'll give him a little more. But a shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Brother, our Lord didn't come as a sheep herder. He didn't come as a hireling. He came as the great shepherd, the chief shepherd, the good shepherd. He laid his life down. Woo, hallelujah. Bind the sacrifice. Tie me to the will of God. Restrain me, O God, and bring me back to the altar, to where I'm held to that dedication. Do you remember the day when you wept away to Calvary and you said, take the whole world, but give me Jesus? Do you remember when you laid your camels on the altar? Do you remember when your snuff can went out the door? Say amen. Do you remember when the world lost its attraction? Amen. Do you remember when the picture show looked like a hellhole? Do you remember when you had the touch of God and you said, Jesus, I belong to you. I'm not my own. Tie me to that consecration. Tie me back to that dedication. Well, it makes me want to shout. Love constrains us. Love constrains us. It'll make Nehemiah leave a government position and go and build walls that are broken down. Amen. He'll make Elisha burn oxen and plow handles and follow a Pentecostal preacher just to pour water on his hands. Hallelujah. He'll get a hold of you. Love. Let me talk about the cords that'll hold us. Love constrains us. Paul said the love of Christ constrains us. The first cord I want to talk about that'll tie you to the will of God is love. We can pass all the bylaws we want to. We meet at every council and pass bylaw on top of bylaw. And then we go home and live like we please. Hate to say it, Brother Dodd, but that's the way it is. There's just something. You can't make it happen. We try to reform, we teach, we educate, but nothing will make a man a child of God until the love of God that passes all understanding is shed abroad in his heart, and he falls in love with the King of Kings, and he knows him who's the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley, the fairest of 10,000. He's altogether lovely. He's the bright and the morning star, and then we love him, and because we love him, we serve him, we sacrifice, we give to him. We're not our own. We love him. Hallelujah. It's a high day. Hallelujah. All of the Bible school teaching in the world won't make a preacher like loving Jesus. If you want a man to be a success, let him fall in love with Jesus. And if he loved Jesus, he'll love souls. And if he loves souls, he'll have men saved. Because God's love. I'm not talking about some kind of a little silly love that we get in church and sing a little ditty. That's not loving God. Loving God is serving him. Loving God is renouncing the world. Loving God is sacrifice. Loving God is worship. I'm not talking about a moment of some kind of a move that were sentimentally moved by a love song. I'm talking about dedication that ties me to an altar of prayer. Simon Peter is one of my favorite preachers. I like Simon. That's one of my favorite. I like him because I knew what side he's on. There's some... There's some of these folks you never know where they're at. One fellow, they asked him what he believed, and he said, I believe what the church believes. Well, he said, what's the church believe? He said, they believe what I believe. Well, what do both of you believe? He said, we believe the same thing. That's deep. Amen. Deep. I like Simon because he'd testify if you called on him. Who do you say the Son of Man is? And the rest, somebody said Jeremiah, and some said Elijah. No, Simon, when he got up, he had it. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Woo! Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon, son of Jonah. You didn't get that at CBC. Amen. That's a revelation, brother. And then the chapter doesn't close till Simon is out of order. And the Lord said, Satan, get behind me. When you call a member of the devil and tell him to shut up and get behind you, that's not good wisdom. I like the way you're shouting. And Simon didn't quit church. I like that kind of. But I didn't like it when he started cussing. I don't like cussing preachers. Now, some of you don't cuss anymore, but you'll slam the door when you go out. That's Pentecostal cussing. Would you say? Simon, I don't think you ought to preach on the day of Pentecost if you're going to cuss like that. And Simon's out as far as I'm concerned. Brother Dodd, I wouldn't have renewed his papers. I just wouldn't do it. Anybody that cuss and deny my Lord has no business in the Oklahoma district. Now shout. But all of a sudden there's something said that Simon was there, and the Lord told Simon that day before the cock shall crow thou shalt deny me thrice. And Simon said, you don't know me, Lord. He said, that's the trouble, I do. And Simon was standing out there, and a banty rooster over in a chicken coop said, I don't understand, what's wrong? He said, it's not morning. I've never felt this time of the night. But if I feel this two more times, he said, there's something mixed up. It's not daylight. But I'm going to crawl. I don't care what happens. If it wakes up Miss Gillick cutting across the aisle, I'm going to crow. And he backed up and crowed. And when he did, it started a revival in the chicken house. And Simon went out and wept bitterly. And I'd like to hear him cry, Lord, I'm a mess. I'm a failure. I'm a denier. I'm a cusser. Wash me and I'll be whiter than snow. Now we got to get his credentials back. You're not much if you don't have credentials. Now I just like our fellowship. I'm not much on this guess what it is. I like for a church to have Assembly of God on it, if it's Assembly of God. If you're ashamed of us, wait. Time while I'm here. I'm a little bit worried about these that say I know everything doesn't depend on the label. You can be deceived by a label. But brother, I just like to have a label on it. I went into a grocery store here a while back, and the labels had come off of their cans, and they're selling them for 10 cents a piece. And the man said, you may get peaches. I don't know what's in there. And man, I thought, well, 10 cents? It's a bargain, and I love a bargain. Don't have labels on it. I don't know what it is. It could be. It could be. Virginia style. I don't know what it is. Anyway, so I bought some of it. 10 cents a can. Got home, and every can I bought was spinach. Nobody on earth likes spinach but Popeye, and it made his arms big below his elbow. Nobody likes that stuff. I like a label. Hey, man. Ooh, I'm not going to get through tonight. But Lewenberg's gone. There's just one of us left. Here we are. Simon, we got to get him back in the fellowship. We got to get his papers back. Doesn't look like the committee will give it to him. He's been cussing, running with the wrong crowd, falling afar off. Amen. One brother told the superintendent the other day, he said, I'm sure behind you. He said, I hope everybody in this district isn't that far behind me. I like the way you're shouting. We got to get Simon's papers back, so we have him meet the credential committee. Simon, come in and meet him. We want you to fill out the questionnaire. Question number one, name, Simon Peter. Address, Capernaum. Wife's name, Sister Simon. Had to be. And then they said, we want you to fill out this questionnaire. you promise to pay your tithes? And that's not a bad request. Everybody that's living for the Lord don't mind paying their tithes. Well, that's shouting ground. That's no job to build. No, but that wasn't on this one. You know what it had on it? Question number one. Simon, do you love me? Yes, I do. He said, I want to get down to this second one. He promised to take the evangel. No. It's just exactly like the other. I don't understand. The printer made a misprint. Simon, do you love me? Lord, you know. Question number three. We'll get your credentials back if you can answer all these questions. Simon, do you love me? Lord, you know I love you. Love is that secret ingredient that'll make a man a success. I do not care what side of the town he's on. There's a love that ties me to the will of God until I'm constrained, I'm bound, I'm held, and I belong to the King of Kings. And the Lord let Simon preach the opening message of the church on the day of Pentecost just because he fell back in love with Jesus Christ, King of Glory. Glory. The first commandment is, thou shalt love the Lord with all of thy heart, with all of thy soul. Don't worry about the third or fourth. People worry about keeping the Sabbath day, and they worry about all this. Don't worry about it. If you can't keep the first one, there's no need to worry about it. Number one, do you love me? That's the secret. John said, he that loveth not knoweth not God. John was that preacher that preached on love. And he is stout as horseradish. He said, whosoever sinneth is of the devil. And if a man gets up at church and says he loves God and doesn't love his brother, he said he is a bad boy. Say amen. He is a liar and the truth isn't in him. That's love will hold you. I said love will take you. The law is weak, but love is strong, brother. It holds us in the midst of it. It'll keep you in the harvest. It'll cause Abraham to jeopardize his life and take 318 trained soldiers out of his own household and risk everything he had to rescue Lot. And he wasn't worth going and getting. He chose the well-watered plains of Jordan. I'd have let him have him. Say amen. No, you won't if you love. Love takes you from your tent. Love makes you tell your servants, we'll leave our cattle, we'll leave our sheep, we'll leave our donkeys, we'll leave our camels. We've got a lost nephew over across the way, and the kings have come and carried off Sodom, and they got him, and we're going after him. Love takes you that second mile. It'll hold you. It'll constrain us. It'll drive us. It'll push us till we go the next mile. Love. Love takes us on. It'll cause Jonathan to take his royal robe off. He was the heir. He was the legal heir. But David was the chosen. It takes love to take it off. When you know that he's first, you've got the chance. This is your chance, Jonathan. You'll be king. Saul will bump off. But he took the robe off and he put it on David and said, David, you're God's choice. Hallelujah. That's love. It'll hold you. Rizpah, concubine of Saul, 5 months sat on a rock and drove the vultures away in the daytime and the beast of the field by night, and she burned her little fire, and word trickled into the palace. There's a little concubine, a little frail woman that's sitting out there guarding the bones of her dead son. 5 long months in the blistering heat. Her face is brown. She's burned. She's camping out, but she's, and someone walked up and said, "Rizpah, why did you do it?" And she said, "Because I love them." Love drives us. Hallelujah. It makes us more than pastors. It makes us more than just evangelists. It makes us more than professional men. It'll take us into the midnight hours. It'll take us to an altar of prayer. It'll take us back to shed tears. It will take us to a hospital bed. It will make us rejoice and say, "I'll gladly spend and be spent for the glory of God Almighty." Holy, holy. I'll hurry. The second chord I want to talk to you about is that calling. It's a high calling to be a Christian. We're called to be saints. No man is a good preacher unless he's a good Christian. Say amen. I don't care how well you can speak in the pulpit. I do not care what kind of an orator we are. It doesn't bear any weight or mean one thing unless we're a Christian when nobody's looking. It's a high calling, mister. It'll hold you when the storm comes. It'll hold you when the going is hard. It'll hold you when the ties is down. It'll hold you in the darkest hour. Sister Brankle and I traveled on the field with 2 girls. One of them is here tonight. We hardly made enough to make it across the country. We counted a success if we got enough money to get to the next meeting. We didn't stop at cafes. We never ate hamburgers. Two mouse traps, is that right? Well, there's 2 mouse. Anyway, there's mice there, and I got 2 traps. We got 2, and I wrote her name on 1. It was his and hers, and who can catch the most mice? She put cheese on her bread on hers, and I put cheese on mine. And I beat her. I got 7. Woo! I'm a talking about it. She doesn't want me to tell this. I can all see her frowning already. I wish she wasn't here. I don't want to embarrass you neither, please. She told me never tell this again. But a salesman came through and sold us 144 bottles of floor polish. You couldn't get it unless you bought a gross. He said, "You can really sell this stuff." We never was able to sell any of it, but I know somebody that could. The fellow that sold me that. Boy, he could sell it. I had 144 bottles of kerosene with a little bit of shoe paste in it, looked like. It was the sorriest junk I've ever bought in my life. I don't like to get stuck, but I stuck. And we had cases of that junk piled up back there. I couldn't sell it. My members didn't like it, and they wouldn't let their friends have it, and I couldn't conscientiously sell it, and we're stuck. We had hardwood floors, so they looked a little bad on Saturday night. I said, "I'll tell you what I'll do. I got all that stuff back there. I think these floors ought to be polished. We ought to look good for Sunday morning." I went back and got bottles and poured it out, and we put it down with our hands. Went over the whole church. Then I started to the platform, and it was so slick I fell down, and I knew I'd kill every member I had. And I didn't have any to spare. And I said, "Oh, Lord, what will we do now? What will we do now? This is slick. You can't get from here to the platform. Those blessed old saints will come in here in the morning. We'll have broken hips. I may not be able to pray the prayer of faith." And we didn't have a floor polisher. I didn't know how to get it up. I went and got an old blanket, and I put neat on it, and I cleared it of benches, and I... Brother, we had a built-in Power-O-Matic floor polisher. Hallelujah. Don and Neil.
need a manufacturing company.
Hallelujah.
What am I telling you about? It'll hold you. I don't care whether the things are pleasant or not pleasant. There's a calling. There's a touch of God. There's something that comes from heaven that gets in your soul. Till you live for God, you'll preach His word. You'll go the second mile. You're not depending on what's in the offering plan. You belong to Jesus Christ. He's the Lord God Almighty. Hallowed be His name.
We faint not, Paul said. We don't fail to renounce the hidden things of dishonesty. We belong to Him. Necessity is laid upon us. I wish we'd feel that again. That's a cord that'll tie me to the will of God. Hate to tell you, brethren, but God doesn't call many big shots. Have you seen some of these lately that act like God really got a peach when He got them? Say amen. I'm a former of this. I'm so tired of formers. I just like to see a present. Say amen. I'm a former musician. I'm a former boxer. I'm a former fighter. I'm a former of this. We've made a mistake in our church. Thank God for what Teen Challenge has done. But we've let them testify. It's about time we let some CAs that live for God and stayed clean and walk with God come to the platform again and tell of God's saving grace one more time. Glory. It'll hold you. How shall they preach except they be sent, Romans said. You know what I wrote in my Bible out beside of that? There's no telling. Just no telling. I heard about the Methodist church. Little Methodist church needed a new preacher. They wrote the bishop and said, we want a new preacher. He wrote back and said, what do you pay? And they said, $75 a week. So he sent him one. The first Sunday he preached from Job. The next Sunday he preached from Peslems. They wrote the bishop back and said, Bishop, that new preacher you sent us preaches from Peslems and Job. He said, I think all of my $75 a week boys do. I like the way you folks are looking at me tonight. Woo! We're building on a rock. It'll hold your calling, Brother Newby. It'll hold your calling, Brother Dodd. It holds us. We're called to a high calling. Amos wrote a book in the Bible and hadn't got his credentials yet. I don't understand that. Hadn't got exhorters. But he said, the word of the Lord came to me. And then at a high day when God presses it down on us, was it Habakkuk that said the burden of the Lord? God, burn it on my soul. Tie me with cords even to the horns of the altar. Let me hurry to the next one. Time will get away. Fire will hold you. John City will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Do you remember when we got the fire? Oh, I was born in it. Old-fashioned Holy Ghost camp meetings. We didn't know it was hot. Didn't have air conditioning. But we'd shout down the aisles and have a time. I got the baptism right up by the teacher's desk. Whew. Got the, hallelujah, on a floor that didn't have varnish on it. They oiled it with linseed. Started preaching, and I'd preach to the blue jays. I'd preach to the sagebrush. I'd preach to cedar trees. And I still preach that way. When Sister Brankle's not along, I don't think she ought to have to put up with it. But when she's not with me, I go down the road preaching just as hard as I can. If folks met me, they thought I'd lost my mind. Hallelujah, glory to God. Just wait till I get there. I discovered the anointing preaching to my spotted horse. few years ago, and many of you know about it, Brother Woolerford was here the other night. I resigned, I was on the field. And I had four meetings and all four of them canceled. Well, three of them canceled. One of them was way off. One place, they just diselected their pastor. And that wasn't any surprise for that church. It took three to pastor. One a coming, one a going, one a preaching. He happened to be the one going. They just diselected him. The other place, the preacher's kids had the whooping cough. I think some of them are here tonight. And the other place, they were paving in front of the church. And so I lost every revival I had. Every revival I had went out the door. And I thought, oh God, what can I do? I preached. If you're a God-called preacher, you'll have a place to preach. Well, I had a place every Sunday, but I didn't. I went to Dad's farm. He's sitting here. I walked around that farm crying and praying. My mom fasted and prayed with me. And finally, one Wednesday night, I said, I've got it. I'm going to Sweetwater. Brother Floyd Murray will have me preach. I'm going down and preach for Brother Murray. He loves me. He prayed me through to the Holy Ghost. And I was on my way to Sweetwater and stopped at Woodward, and Brother Woolerford said, Brother Brankle, stay and preach for me. Who knows, we might start a revival. I said, glory to God, I'm here. Just as I stopped in Woodward, that night a tornado came. That was April 47, and it blew the whole kit and caboodle away. I went out, and my blessed Ford had another one laying on it. Brother Gilchrist's car was laying on mine. Didn't have a glass left in it. The top was caved in, would hold a half a tub of water. The turtle shell was sticking straight in the air. My suitcase was gone. My suits was gone. My Bible was gone. Everything I owned was gone. The hood was over to one side. There wasn't but one little wind in it. That's a piece of the windshield right in the middle. A 37 Ford. The brakes wasn't made to stop it. It's to brace yourself if you saw you was going to hit something. I got in and I drove it and I sat in the middle, looked like a mail carrier dodging the grasshoppers. I drove to Clinton. Brother Cornell was superintendent and he was at Clinton. Spent a great deal of his life there. And at Clinton, Oklahoma, Brother Cornell, I talked to him and I said, Brother Cornell, I've had a little rough and I'm down here just praying. I just thought I'd come by and talk to you. He said, well, son, my brother-in-law wants evangelists. You'll have him place in a few days. Brother J.S. Merle said, Don, why don't you go home with me? And I said, I believe I will. Hallelujah. Went home with Brother Merle, and that night we got to his house and he had a house full of company. He said, well, Don, here's an army cot. Get wherever you want to. I took it out to the garage. I thought, brother, this is a pretty crowded territory in here. And I slept in the garage, and I decided I'll touch God before daylight. I'm going to find out what God wants. I cried, I prayed, I wept, I worshiped, and then I shouted, and I kicked up so much dirt I choked myself out. Amen. In those days, I didn't believe you prayed through if you wasn't hoarse when you got through. And I still doubt it. I shouted and hollered and hooped, and the dirt flew. I went out and spit up mud balls and blew them out. But I heard from heaven. Woo! I heard from heaven. You know what he said? Go to Arkansas. I forgot to ask him where. I knew that's the voice of God. Now, God doesn't talk to me like he talks to some of you. Some of you fellas, he tells you, don't buy these cucumbers, buy those. These folks, if you've seen so many folks going around saying, the Lord told me to go here and he told me to go there, and I got over there and he told me back up, and then he told me... No wonder I have a hard time getting my prayers through. He spends all his time talking to you. I didn't know a living soul in Arkansas. Didn't know a soul. Went by and saw my dad, my mom. They stood in the yard crying. Dad said, "Son, I don't understand it, but God bless you. Wish I could help you more." And I had $19 in my pocket. Started down the road and got to Tahlequah, Oklahoma. And that blessed Ford died dead as a hammer. You couldn't start it. You couldn't make it run. I didn't know what to do. I stood there under that tree and I said, "Oh God, here I am. I don't know. I haven't got enough money to go home. I came back out. And I don't know where I'm going. I don't know a living preacher. But Lord, you said go to Arkansas." And I got out and poured a bottle of oil on the hood of that Ford and anointed it. And he healed that blessed Ford. And if he can heal a Ford, I know he can heal you tonight. Oh, brother, a calling does something to you. I got into Fayetteville, Arkansas, and I asked where the Assembly of God church was, and they said it's right up there, and it's a beautiful church. I hadn't been in one that big. Beautiful. Get out of here. And I parked that car way up around the corner because you can't get revivals with a car like that. I walked up to the house. Walked up and I said, "Brother Pitts was there." Never met him, never heard of him. Walked to the door and he had the palsy. Said, Brother, who are you?" And I said, "I'm Don Brankle, I'm an evangelist. I'm coming through the country. God sent me to Arkansas and I just need I don't need any money." I didn't have any, but didn't. I said, "I just want just some little place. I don't care whether it's by the side of the road. I don't expect to go to any big church. Just some little place to preach. But God sent me, and I don't know just exactly where I'm going, but I'm praying." He said, "Come in, son, we'll pray." And that same spell that hit me in that garage hit me there. Do it again, Lord. Do it again. I wish it hit some of us tonight. And about that time, that old elder said, "Son, you won't believe it, but I was praying early this morning and I prayed yesterday. God, would you send me an evangelist? We want a revival in our church. And this is God. We've got a CA rally tonight and we'll start tomorrow night." God opened a door, and from that day to this, I've never wanted a place to preach. He's the Lord God Almighty that calls us and ties us to the will of God with holy heartburn. Say amen. Fire. John said he'll baptize you with fire. Isaiah would just been an ordinary preacher. He was the chaplain of the Senate. Can't you hear Isaiah pray those pretty prayers as chaplain? "Almighty God, thou that didst found this nation, gave us this great providence, allowed us to live in this land." But all of a sudden he said, "One day Uzziah died. And I saw the Lord, and he took a live coal from off the altar, and he touched my lips, and I had a transformation, and I become more than a chaplain. I become a prophet of God." "He laid his hand on me, and I cried, 'Woe is me, I'm undone.' And about that time he cried, 'Who'll go?' And I cried, 'Here am I.'" It's a high day when the fire of God touches your life. Holy fire. Jeremiah was going to quit preaching and go in the motel business. I think he was going to give a discount to preachers. He figured he'd have a ministry. "I'll do something for the Lord. I'll help preachers get through the country. That I had in the wilderness a lodging place for wayfaring men." But he said, while I was thinking about this and trying to get my loan through, this was like fire shut up in my bones, and I couldn't stay. That fire holds us to the will of God. It's a holy heartburn. It's a burning in our soul David said, while I was musing, the fire burned. Pentecost was born with tongues of fire. Presha rambo tora mandaya. Folks, we're losing something in the fellowship, and that's that holy fire of God, a baptism of fire. Say amen, not a mechanical operation, but a visitation of the Holy Ghost of God. Be on fire, stir up the gift. They tell me in Africa that the monkeys come down at night and warm themselves by the visitor's fire. And monkeys hold out their, well, what has monkeys got? Hands, feet, paws? Some of you that he's kin to, tell me. Little boy came home from school and said, did you know the teacher said today that daddy was kin to a monkey? His mother said, I don't know your father's people that well. And that, can you imagine some dummy believing this in one of our schools? Lord, help me. Monkeys came down the fire and they hold out their hands, paws, or whatever they got. They chatter around the fire till it goes out. But those dumb monkeys don't have enough sense to go get another stick and put it on the fire. And I've been in churches. Would you shout now? Oh, let's go back. Stir up the gift, Timothy. Let's build a fire in Pentecostal churches just one more time. Hallelujah. Bill Weaver, it still works. Hallelujah. The fire of God is the difference inside of our churches. Burn, O Holy Ghost. Burn, O blaze of God. It'll tie you. Our young people weren't held by activities. And I thank God we do have some programs now. But our young people weren't held. I wasn't held by activities. It wasn't because there was a ski trip or a boat trip down the Illinois. What held us was a holy burning of the Holy Ghost that was like fire set up in our bones until we hated sin and loved righteousness. It's fire from heaven that'll bring back a youth group in our church that will rock the gates of hell one more time. If I wanted to kill a church, I'd fill it with contemporary music. I'd make the youth group separate from the church and let them play ball while we prayed. Would you say amen? And I'd start up in the middle of the day so sinners wouldn't quit their mowing their lawn and their activities and come to church. And I'd let the choir dictate the terms of the church, and I'd let the whole church revolve around the choir. I've been in a few churches where you'd think when the devil fell from heaven, he fell in the choir. I like the way you folks are shouting. I'm out here where the rubber meets the road. I'm there whenever you can't have church, because tonight we can't have an altar service. Let's get back to where the glory comes and the fire of Pentecost falls one more time inside of the fellowship. Hallelujah. Glory. I'm almost through. What'll hold you is a vision. Number four. Until you've seen him who's King of Glory, there's something lacking in your lives. Now, I've never had a vision of Jesus in person. He's never come to me. I was down in Houston, Texas here a while back, and they had an angel tied out to the edge of the city. The evangelist had a TV program and said, an angel's tied out to the edge of the city. Come out tonight. And they flocked out there to see that angel. He got away just before church. Dummy. It bothers me enough that we've got some of these. Some of these fakers on TV. It bothers me enough, but what bothers me more, some of you old saints that would take high blood pressure if your pastor did what they're doing, and your pastor's wife looked like some of them look, you'd have a spell, and you're supporting them, and then you need to get back. Would you shout now? Let's get back and build. If your pastor pulled for money as much as the idiot box pulls for it, you'd take high blood pressure. If your pastor mailed you a letter and said he's $200,000 behind on his budget this month and is going to have to shut the church if we don't pay it, you'd take high blood pressure. It's about time you take enough high blood pressure to turn the knob one time. Amen. Let's get back and build a church and get a vision of something at home that God will do something for us. I'm not through. Abraham, how did you offer Isaac? Abraham rejoiced to see my day and he saw it. That's how he did it. He got a vision. Moses, how did you pastor that same church 40 years? He endured as seeing him who is invisible. Have you seen him in his glory, in his beauty, in his resurrection, in his dying hour? If you catch a glimpse of him, don't lose your vision of Jesus. Isaiah, what made you preach and put 66 chapters in the book and write like you was there at Calvary? And he said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. Oh, I saw him, I saw him. I saw him. Hallelujah. Ezekiel, what made you do what you did? Ezekiel's one of the strangest preachers. I wouldn't want him for a pastor. God said, Ezekiel, I want you to put a frying pan in front of your face and walk around all over Judah. Thus saith the Lord, as this frying pan is before my face, so am I against you. Would you want your pastor speaking to Kiwanis holding a frying pan up? I like the way you're shouting now. You know, we're polishing the sepulchres of the prophets, but we wouldn't want them. We've got to have Dr. Sounding Brass. He speaks on positive confession. And how to get rich by the time you're 30. Would you shout? I'm not going to get through. God said, Ezekiel, go home and lay on your left side for 390 days. Can you imagine Ezekiel laying on his left side? Man, that'll wear you out. God, can I roll over? No rollover. We've got a pastor so narrow-minded that he won't sleep on his right side. Who'd want him? I wouldn't want. He wouldn't fit in Springfield. <laughs> 390 days laying on his left side, a fanatic. There's a dummy over here by the name of Ezekiel laying on his left side. And then God said, roll over and stay on the other side 40 days. That's, I don't understand it. Ezekiel, what made you do all that? Run around with a frying pan. And then God said, I want you to eat barley cakes. And don't you go get the propane bottle filled. I want you to use dung to cook it with. And he's out gathering buffalo chips. I like the way you folks looking at me. Some of you don't even know what I'm talking about. Buffalo, we got a preacher. Got him a new stove and he's looking for buffalo chips. dummy. I don't understand that. What made you do it, Ezekiel? He did it because, and God said, go and do it. Eat a roll, and he ate it. Go and he told him, said, now you don't have to pray this weekend for a new message. There's a hole in the wall down there, and go peek through it. And everything you see going on, preach on a Sunday. Wouldn't that be a text? Say amen. When you got some saints with not enough clothes on to make a jackrabbit and a pair of leggings. Say amen. Would you shout? Preach what you see. I'm still in the book. I read it in there. Why did you do it, Ezekiel? He said, one thing. Chapter 1, I saw visions of God. I caught a glimpse of the wheel in the middle of the wheel, and I saw the king coming down. Hallelujah. It was July the 5th, right by the river of Chebar. I got a revelation of his glory. That's what'll hold you. Let me hurry. It's an humbling vision. If you see him, you won't write a book about it. Job said, I've heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now that I got to see you, I abhor myself. Isaiah cried, woe is me, God, I'm undone. That's the reason why I don't believe all of these visions. If you see him in his glory, you'll fall at his feet and you'll cry, unworthy, unworthy. John, I like John, the revelator on the Isle of Patmos. I used to preach I was going to go shouting into heaven. And I am going to shout up there somewhere. You that don't like shouting, I hope you get an apartment between David and me. We'll keep you up 100 million years. Say amen. But brother, I don't think I'll shout through the gate. I don't think I'll shout. And when I see him in the clouds of glory, John knew him like no one else knew him. He leaned on his breast at the Last Supper. And John said he was the disciple that he loved, Brother Cargill. But when he saw the splendor of the scintillating glory of the risen Christ and the glorified King and the heavenly visitor, he said, I fell at his feet as dead and cried, oh God, I'm unworthy. When the 24 elders got their crowns on, they couldn't wear them. They couldn't wear them. They said, we can't wear these. They took them and threw them at his feet and sang a new song. Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Rabba mandi da bashaya. I don't think there'll be any more just sitting in a church house and going through our little calisthenics if we catch a glimpse of the beauty of Jesus. I think you'll get to the highways and the hedges. I believe there'll be some buses go down some back roads. There'll be some boys and girls picked up in automobiles. I'm not advocating everybody bus, but I'm saying somebody's going to go after little heathens that the world doesn't care for when you catch a glimpse of Jesus. Say amen. Little kids that have never heard a kind word, nothing but a cuss word, filled with nicotine rooms, moms and dads dog drunk. Brother, they live in a hell on earth. They've never had a chance. One of our bus workers of our Assembly of God Church picked up an